Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. My co-host David Todd's doing radio work this week for Steelers Nation Radio and a couple of the other stations there. He's out at Latrobe this week, and per usual, we like to have a guest or two on throughout the course of training camp to give us to be our eyes out there at Latrobe. Today, I'm joined by Derek Nusselroat, and Derek goes by the Twitter handle Calm Killer, CalmKiller on Twitter. I've chatted with Derek quite a few times, and I believe this is Derek's first trip out to Latrobe. Derek, appreciate you taking time tonight. Welcome to the Terrible Podcast.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Glad to be on.
Some breaking news right before I got on with you, Derek, and by the time we get this podcast listed, it's going to be a couple hours old, but the Steelers shockingly surprised everyone today, signing Antonio Brown to a five-year, $42.5 million contract extension today. What's your initial thoughts on hearing that?
Yeah, I saw that. I was really surprised because, you know, there was a report earlier in the week that Wallace had signed a contract, and it was for roughly around the same amount of money. So this is basically like they said, okay, if Wallace doesn't want the money, we'll sign Antonio because he's here and he wants to be here. So
absolutely, and we're getting to, I've got the numbers already in on that. Antonio received a $8.5 million signing bonus, which is really, in my opinion, is real low. He is his first year base salary in 2012 is going to be $540,000. That's what it was scheduled to be anyway, which, you know, it makes his cap hit a very easy, like $2.25 million in 2012. So anybody listening that's wondering, well, what does this mean about Mike Wallace? There's still plenty of cap room for a first-round cap hit on, or first-year cap hit on Mike Wallace. But to me, it's Omar Khan and Kevin Colbert and the gang throwing a little chum in the water and saying, just as you said, Mike Wallace, you don't want this money, we'll give it to Antonio Brown.
Right. I mean, that's what it seems like to me, you know, and they have the history of not negotiating with people that aren't there, so you got to show up to camp to get a contract.
Yeah, and hopefully now we'll have to see what Mike does. Who knows at this point now, you know, the $2.74 million tender's out there. He's going to have to come in and sign that tender before they continue negotiations on this, so... well, let's get to training camp. This was your first trip out to Latrobe. You know, what was your initial thoughts on the day?
Well, the campus was beautiful. My parents and I and my wife, we all went up for the first time. I've been wanting to do it for many years, just haven't done it. Went to the campus, this beautiful campus. They got four different fields laid out there at Chucknell Field, Chucknell Stadium, whatever it's called. And it's just a great atmosphere. I mean, you're right there. You can watch the players walk out. They'd sign autographs. I mean, it's really something that any Steeler fan should do at least once, just to go and experience it. I can't wait to go back, honestly. I'd like to do it every year.
A bit overwhelming, I guess, to the senses at first when you go out there first time. I kind of asked you that on Twitter. You know, with all the fields and the way they kind of split them up, does it take a while to get yourself adjusted to what groups where?
Yeah. When they first came out, they did some team stuff, and then they broke up into individual sets where the, you know, running backs went with the running backs, quarterbacks and receivers were together, defense went separate, line went separate. So I found it difficult to keep up with everything. Even when they were doing team drills, I was, you know, the 11-on-11 and the 7-on-7. I had a hard time focusing on offense. I focused on the offense the whole time, and then I felt bad afterwards because I didn't get to see all the players I wanted to see on defense. Like, I wanted to watch Sean Spence just – how quick he was, wanted to see him run around, and I didn't really get to. The seventh-round corner we drafted to from Texas A&M, I think it was. I didn't get to watch him. I can't remember his name right now.
Terrence Frederick?
Right. I wanted to watch him more, and I focused more on the draft picks that we had on offense because, you know, the majority of them with DeCastro and Adams and Rainey, and watching Batch with his knee, seeing how he was cutting. And I paid attention to Manuel Sanders, seeing how his foot, how he was cutting and that kind of stuff. And they all look good. So the majority of my focus was on the offense, and I really was overwhelmed. I couldn't keep up with everything.
How did you mentioned Emmanuel Sanders there and Baron Batch? Of course, Sanders coming off multiple foot, you know, problems and all, and of course the off season last year prior to the season started had that other procedure done that kept him out for the first part of training camp. Did both those guys look like they're moving around good?
Yeah, they looked really good. Batch, I saw him do some spin moves on some dummies, catching the ball, spinning around. You know, it looked like he was going 3/4 speed to full speed. You know, it's different when they have the pads on and it's an actual game speed. But, I mean, they look good. I watched Emmanuel Sanders in some of the early receiver drills. They had cones out and they were chopping around the cones, and he was chopping and cutting. It didn't look like he was, you know, trying to not injure himself or anything. He looked like he was going full speed to me. It looked good.
And, you know, normally they talk about these backs when they come back from these ACL injuries. Of course, Barron's almost a full year since he tore his. They worry about the psychological aspect of it more than the actual physical this far out from surgery there. So, you know, that's reassuring what you say, that you know, he appeared, I guess, pretty trusting of that knee and being able to cut and spin and all like that. So that's definitely good to hear. What you know, I know it's kind of hard to pay attention to football in shorts with the rookies, DeCastro and Mike Adams. For the second day in a row, it's being reported that they were kind of the second team guys that were rotated in with the first team. Can you fill us in a little bit about what you saw offensive line-wise as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, they did a lot of rotation. You know, starting out, it was Essex was a starting left tackle. I think Foster was the starting right guard on the first team, and then they would rotate in. I watched Mike Adams more. It was easier to see him, honestly, because he's on the end of the line. You know, with his footwork, getting out, making sure the end's pushed out, and he looked good. You know, you can't really tell. They're not going full speed. You can't really see a bull rush, you know, see what kind of strength he has or anything like that. But he looked like he was using good technique, and he looked pretty quick. So DeCastro, I didn't really see him pull a lot. You know, it was, like you said, it's football in shorts. So, you know, you just got to watch it some more. It was one practice. So, you know, anything, it's just one practice. So. But they look good.
Willie Colon, of course, at left guard there. There were a couple of reports on Twitter. He was out leading the way on a couple of pulls to the right side there. So, you know, the best thing about having Colon at left guard, having DeCastro at right guard, and as mobile as those two you know, seem to be heading into this year, it's going to give the Steelers the ability to be more balanced directionally. I think, because, you know, over the last few years, it's pretty much been a right-handed offense, with Kimo Atto really being the one to pull left from left to right there. And, you know, Kimo, you never knew what you were going to get there. Boy, he could lay some crushing trap blocks when he would hit someone. But on the flip side, he would very easily slip off of a block as well. And we never saw, because of the disruption really and on the right side. You know, last year I think at this time they were talking about Chris Scott even starting at right guard, and then we went through the Tony Hill and the Doug Ligursky, and then we ended up back with Ramon Foster. And really Ligursky was the only one of the group that really had pulling ability of all of those, and the short time that he was in at right guard, we really didn't see that last year before he got injured early on in the season there with a toe problem. So DeCastro, boy, when you look at that tape, that Stanford tape on this kid, knockdown city, and tomorrow they'll be putting the pads on, of course, and you know, that's going to be an exciting time for those people to make it out there tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. I wish I was going tomorrow, but I don't think I can talk to the wife into letting me go back and watching that. But that's what I'd like to see. I'd really like to see some goal line drills and see how they perform in that, to see, you know, because, you know, historically the defense usually takes control of that, but I'd like to see what the new guys can do and how they'll handle that situation. It's always fun to see them in pads and listen to them pop and just let them lay the wood to each other.
You know, the big talk, you know, possibility of a fullback this year, more so than in recent years. David Johnson and Will Johnson have been in the running back room this year in the offseason, as opposed to being in the tight end and the running back room. Did you see much as far as formation-wise? Was there anything that you could have picked up on today? There's been a lot of talk as of late from several players, Willie Colon being one of them, that, you know, this offense is going to look a lot like what Ken Whisenhunt ran a few years ago. Anything that you picked on up on formation-wise today, Derek?
I didn't really see any eye or offset eye. A lot of shotgun stuff, you know. They were running skeletons, so they weren't really under center for that. I saw, you know, Will Johnson, he was on the roster that they handed out. He was the only one, roster list that they gave us on a piece of paper. He was the only one listed as a fullback on that. But Johnson was running with the running backs. I watched him take some handoffs when they were in the individual drills. I didn't see a lot with the team activities when they went into the 11-on-11 and the 7-on-7. There wasn't really a lot. They were just basically focused on pass patterns. And then when they were actually doing the running plays out of the team sets, they were just handing it off. I think it was just a one back set, really, offset or directly behind Ben. Redmond had some nice runs. Batch had one nice run. They did some swing passes out to Batch, but I didn't see a lot of fullback, not really a lot of fullback. You know, they're not in pads either, so their main, I'm assuming their main priority is going to be blocking out of that system, but we don't know yet.
Exactly. Of course, with Heath Miller down again today with that ankle, Leonard Pope, Wesley Saunders, I imagine Paulson too. Were there, you know, mostly one tight end sets or two tight end sets? Did you happen to pick up on that?
There were some two tight end sets later in the practice. I didn't really pay that much attention. It took me a while to figure out what number Pope even was. I had to look at the roster a couple times. I saw Saunders a lot. He caught a couple passes, had some broken up. Didn't really see a lot of the seventh round draft pick that I know of. You know, there's new numbers and then camp numbers, so
sure.
Just can't really. It's really hard to check a roster number and then watch a play and then check a roster number on your phone and just try to keep up with everything. I don't have it memorized yet. So.
I got you. As far as Ben, you know, on you know, when they're going 7-on-7, 11-on-11 in the passing, did you notice anything more of a quicker delivery or him getting the ball out quicker, you know, in what you saw?
He was still scrambling around on some plays. I didn't really notice a quicker read. Some of them were pretty quick. Actually, some of them were pretty quick, just like a quick post, like a 10 and out. Some of the swing passes that they had out of the backfield, they went deep a couple times. I didn't really notice if it was a play action or not. You know, I couldn't sit there and hit rewind to see exactly what took place prior to it. But some sets, you know, he was a little quicker, some play action, some rolling out, some broken plays. So, I mean, I think it'll be Ben. I still think Ben's going to be Ben.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think I think that too. I mean, there's so many things that you can try to do with a quarterback, but I mean that's what he's made his living on. That's what makes Ben. You know, extending the play like that. I mean, he's country strong. You know, the way a lot of people describe him like that, and that's what he is. And he does it better than any quarterback in the league. You know, Marquise Mays, I saw his name come across the, you know, Twitter feed quite a few times today, a couple of nice catches by him. A little small, though, isn't he? I mean, did you get a good look at him size-wise? You know, would you agree that he's kind of very undersized?
Yeah, I would say he reminds me of Jock Sanders out of WVU. I'm a WVU fan, season ticket holder there. So I've seen the little squirt type of player before a lot. You know, Duell Devine was similar as well. He's a small guy. I think he's listed at like 180 pounds, 5'7", 5'8", something like that. So he had a couple nice catches. I did see him lose balance one time, fall down. I think he still made the catch, though, but fell out of bounds. His route running was on a couple routes. He rounded off some routes. So, you know, I'm not sure how his route running is yet, but he can improve on that. And he wasn't back for any punt returns that I saw. So,
and that's interesting. And that's interesting because you would agree that if this kid's going to make the roster as he's a long shot to make the fifth, and I doubt the Steelers keep six wide receivers with what Rainey brings to the table as a running back, a multi-purpose type guy. You'd almost think that this kid would have to make it as a punt or kick returner to make the 53.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if you look at it, just like you said there, Rainey's probably going to take that sixth spot that Battle had last year, or he's going to take one of the running back spots. You know, you don't really know what's going to go in there. Is he running back? Is he receiver? Is he slot? You know, what role does he fill? He'll probably take that special team slot. So then you're down to five receivers, essentially, like we had last year, and then the sixth receiver slot was a special team spot. So I would say that that's a pretty good bet. He may be a practice squad player unless he really shows something.
Tyler Beiler, I've had him on a terrible podcast recently. The kid, out of small school of Bridgewater. Did he stick out at all any today?
Number 19.
I believe that's his number. I believe it is.
Reminded me of we had a kid that played. I think he's with the Broncos now.
Grisham.
Yeah, he reminded me of him. I saw two catches that he had, and he reminded me of Grisham when I saw it out there. I actually had to think about it. I'm like, well, Grisham's not on the team anymore. So I saw him a couple times, but, you know, he's running with the quarterback, Johnson, so I didn't get to see a whole lot. But I saw him flash a little bit.
I know you say you didn't pay too terribly much attention to the defense. Anybody stick out in particular today? I heard Cortez Allen might have had a couple of nice breakups. I heard Ike Taylor was pretty slick in coverage, starting off training camp. Good. Give me a quick, 2-minute recap of what you observed on defense today.
On defense, I do know the starting corners were Ike, Keenan Lewis, and Allen was running the nickel. I tried to see where Curtis Brown was on the second team. I think he was starting left, but I'm not 100% sure if he was left or in the nickel. I tried to watch Sean Spence, but I just didn't get to. I know Ryan Clark was wearing 21 today. I'm not sure why he was wearing 21. He actually walked right behind us when we were going to practice. On the field, I need to get back on the field, not where he was walking around. The defensive line, Kiesel, I saw Hayward out there. He was on the second team. I know he's behind Kiesel, so, you know, there's potentially a position battle there between Ziggy and Hayward on the left side, I believe. I think McClendon was starting. I don't know if McClendon played or not. I actually didn't pay attention if McClendon was out there. They played. They didn't really go a lot of 3-4. They were going in what I did pay attention. They were basically just roaming around on the D-line. You know how they do that crazy one down lineman and everybody else is just kind of up and down. So I saw that a little bit. Didn't really pay as much attention to the defense as I would like to.
Yeah, and that's it. That's okay. And you know, first time out there, most definitely. I mean, you gave us a great rundown. Ryan Clark wears 21 as a tribute to his buddy Sean Taylor.
Sean Taylor, that's right.
He always wears that 21 during training camp there as a remembrance to him there. So, but hey, Derek, let me tell you, that's what these little mini podcasts are all about. I know our listeners certainly do appreciate it. I think I've talked to you several times on Twitter, and I appreciate you taking the time tonight to join us. And you can follow Derek on Twitter at CalmKiller, CalmKiller. Give him a shout-out when you hear this on the podcast and let him know that you heard him tonight. And Derek, I want to thank you again taking time out of your little vacation there and away from the family to give us a quick update tonight.
Anytime. Thank you for having me on.